Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as
Christina and Meredith, the like ultimate OTP of Grey's Anatomy.
They're like the original, like if you only watch one season of Grey's Anatomy, that's all you need to ship them.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I just remember those like dance parties and them having to like dance it away. It's a very white thing to do, but you know what? Like I was feeling it.
Dancing, dude.
Yeah, they're just like, I swear to God, like that's such a like I think I've seen white girls do that. Like they get into some sort of altercation and they're just like, let's just dance it off, and then they do.
I need details on what you saw and when after this.
Oh God, yeah.
Because I have never witnessed that.
You're a lucky man. What up, Corona?
What's poppin', Chingona? How you been?
Pretty damn good. LA is finally heating up. It is getting warm.
And you went to Morcajete Dominguero, right?
I did. So you guys are listening to an episode that was recorded a couple weeks ago. But yeah, it was the 1 year anniversary and it was huge and it was hot and I won some stuff. It was
hot.
Cool. It was so hot.
That's so hot. Even though Paris Hilton is canceled.
She is? Tell me about it later.
Okay. Anyways, today, like, we have a really, really good episode. It's we're covering one of like the greatest showrunners and woman of color of all time, period. Point blank. That's it.
For definitely probably the best showrunner that I've ever come across.
Oh, she's amazing. Like what she's been able to do at ABC and like just completely change like what primetime TV.
Yeah, in fact, like I was kind of really surprised to find that like a couple years before she pitched and got Grey's Anatomy on air, she was rejected by ABC for one of her pilots.
Say what? They rejected her?
Yeah, in 2003. And then like 2005 comes along, bada bing bada bang, here's Grey's Anatomy, biggest show like that ABC's ever had, I'm pretty sure. At least in my opinion, in my lifetime.
I feel like she saved their entire network.
Like, they are blessed.
They are, because that woman, I swear, she's tapped into something that, like, I think every showrunner, every creator wants to do.
Yeah, she's basically has a legacy now. And what's crazy about it, like, I was looking into her recently. She's 48 years old. Like, relatively young. Because she's young. Yeah, when she finished her time at school and finally came out to Los Angeles and was unemployed, she was 25. Like she had no credits. Ooh. Under her belt. She was 25.
AKA, see a parallel here.
AKA my age. And that makes me feel really good that I haven't like had 10,000 production jobs like some of these little kids out here.
Oh, and in case you guys were wondering who in the hell we're talking about and you haven't figured it out by now. Who are we talking about today,
Michael? Shonda Rhimes. Did we not say it?
I don't know. I really don't think we did.
This is a Shonda Rhimes episode. It's probably in the title, so figure it out, guys.
I've been drinking. Hey. Anyways, that's a whole nother.
Oh, you guys, Beychella. We'll talk about
Beychella
it later.
Beychella happened today. And
yeah.
Last
or
night?
Yesterday.
This morning?
It was yesterday.
For Texas, it happened this morning.
Oh, okay. We're in Pacific Standard Time. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, Shonda Rhimes, like, this woman is amazing. Like, I also found out that she did Crossroads, the fucking movie that Britney Spears came out in.
Dude, did you just hear me gasp?
Yeah, I saw your face do it, too. Like, I actually really enjoyed that movie.
I don't remember it, but what I do remember is that it made me happy, and that's all that really matters.
I remember it being, like, really, like, edgy, and there was, like, a pregnant person in it, and now that chick is on Orange is the New Black. That's what I know.
You guys, just for reference, go watch it. Like, I don't remember how many bundles I would give it, but it's pretty good. It has Britney Spears.
It's probably good.
Our ally, so we fought for her.
And then she also wrote, like, the sequel to Princess Diaries, and And like I said, like even she, this magical human being, was rejected once by ABC. So we all have hope in this world. But you know what happened most recently?
What happened?
She signed that deal with Netflix.
Ooh, even better. I don't have to watch ABC.
Yeah, her future shows are gonna be like Netflix originals, and to me, with the bell that rings in my head is even more diversity. 'Cause look at her shows and how diverse they are right now. Like, they're gonna fucking go up a notch, I feel.
Yeah, because right now I feel like it's very like cookie cutter vanilla, which we're gonna get into later, but yo, Netflix is doing the damn thing, and she's always been doing the damn thing. So hopefully those two things connect and make something amazing again.
Like world peace. I'm feeling like world peace is coming. Like Shonda, Beyonce, Ava, like what else? We're
Reese,
working on
Lena
it, guys.
Waithe.
We're working
Oh my
on
God, we have
it.
not finished naming amazing, powerful, game-changing women of color. They're amazing. Shout out to Black women forever.
I'm so here for it. Like I cannot wait. But her most recent show that came out, we're gonna go backwards. So in backwards, like anti-chronological order. We're gonna go with her latest show, which is Station
Yes.
19, Latina
Oh my
Led. She didn't have to do
God.
that. She didn't have to do that for us. She has a Latina Led show.
Yes, and her name is literally on everything she wears because she's a firefighter.
Yeah, it's on the name
Literally
tag.
lit.
Lady is what? Andy
Lit.
Herrera? Andy Herrera.
Herrera. Herrera.
Herrera.
Yes, there we go. That's the correct way to say it.
So I know that you basically binged it today. So go ahead, give us your overall feels, your overall conchas.
Okay, my overall conchas, I did not go in expecting a lot, because I was like, all right, this is like gonna be soap opery and drama. And instead, like what I found is that I really like to see fires. And you gave me that look like, it's like, what? Like, yeah, I'm kind of into the show. And every time I want to like, okay, I'm not gonna keep watching this show. It's so vanilla. It's so corny. And then like a cool ass thing happens, and I fucking can't stop. Like I'm like, what is this blue fire that's
Blue
glowing in
fire. I was
the
like, goblet is fire. Goblet of fire. Goblet of fire as fuck right now. Oh my god.
It's
I've been
Harry
drinking
Potter.
too.
It's right? Like
I've
it's.
been on a like Harry Potter binge. You don't understand. But yeah, it's
Oh,
you know
I
the worst
understand.
sadly the worst part of that show is Warren.
Which one was Warren? Was he a white man?
Warren's? No, he's the black guy who's like he's like the new guy on the block.
Oh, the one that's like super enthusiastic about fire the way we would be, right?
Yes, so he was on Grey's Anatomy.
He was?
He was on Grey's Anatomy. He was a surgeon on there. He's Bailey's husband, and
Whoa.
like he decided he wants to be a firefighter, so they moved him over to the show, and that's how Station 19 and Grey's Anatomy links a lot.
This
But
makes sense.
yeah, so
Yeah,
that's
he
only
is that
like,
guy.
yeah,
Oh,
he's that
wow.
guy, and like on this show, he's just so fucking annoying. Like, please stop. But luckily, you have like three other women who are absolutely amazing on there.
Yes. Like,
What did you think of the ladies?
okay, so should we like, okay, one of them is queer. We won't tell you which, but it was a surprise and it
Well,
was
let's
so
just say that.
casual.
Okay, I mean, you might as well. Let's just say all three women end up being diverse, like because you have a
Yes.
Latina lead, you have a strong black woman who like is fucking dope as shit so far. I love her aesthetic.
Oh my
And
God,
then
and
you
she's
have
so
Andy's.
like, she's one of the best firefighters too. Like, the bitch don't play games. She's
Yeah.
here.
She's here. She did not come here to play.
No. And then a queer
Oh, that's
woman,
right,
so
Marsha.
I don't know
And
if
a
it's
queer
like,
woman.
yeah, I don't know if it's like, okay, so my only problem with it is that, like, are they just putting people, like, sprinkling in diversity for the sake of diversity? Like, that's my problem is like, I agree that real life does look like that, but it's like this kind of feels very like tokeny. Where's our black person? Where's our Latina? Where's our Asian? Like I feel like they're just like marking a box and checking it off.
Right, yeah. And I mean, we have to give it some time to air out because if you think about this is a brand new show, the first seasons of most shows suck or at least are of lesser quality than their, second, third, fourth seasons. So yeah, you have to get used to being with these people, acting with them, acting like you've been knowing them for years. So you have to give them a little bit. And honestly, like, even you were, me and you were talking about it earlier, it did get better as you got to like the second and the third episode. And yeah, so I mean, maybe it won't be that way, but by setting them as the main characters, you know what I mean? You like, these are like the main characters. They're not side characters.
This is fact. I mean, I appreciate that. Like, I like that they're there. I'm just kind of like, all right, well, a show is gonna take some time, but like, so far, like, I need to like grow with it, you know? But I probably will, 'cause these fires are just crazy interesting, and I don't mean that's so fucked up. But like, it is. It's crazy interesting.
And also, surprisingly, I was interested in like that one of the straight relationships that was kind of developing between one of the firefighters and like this girl who ended up being rescued by him.
Oh,
You know what I'm talking
yes. I like that one. That's a good one. Talk
about? Yeah,
about
it's
actually having Asians.
for all you Disney peeps, we get what I think she's gonna be a regular character, I'm not sure, but Brenda Song from like Suite Life and Zack and Cody or whatever. Like, she's on there and she seems like a pretty genuine, cool character, so hopefully that turns out to be something.
Yes, hopefully. I mean, she's been in every episode, right? So far, from what
I
I've seen.
don't know that she was in the first. She wasn't in the first, but yeah. Or the other person that's in there is, his name is Travis on the show, and you might recognize him from One Day at a Time.
Which one?
I guess you didn't. Maybe
I
you
did
didn't.
not.
So you know how, like, in season one, Penelope dates that one dude who has a gay brother?
Oh, that's him?
That's him, yeah. So that
Oh,
guy is now on this show playing an actual queer man, openly proud man, yeah.
wow. Oh my God, that is him. Oh, and by the way, everyone is casually queer in this show. Like, it just
We have a
is.
couple of casual queers, yeah.
They just are. And I love that. They don't like don't there's no coming out story. They're just like, "Oh yeah, I've been my husband and my like person I want to see." Like, it's just so casual and nice, you know, where it's not like a whole thing.
It's totally there. Right. Well, let's get into a little bit about what the show is actually about. We've already kind of mentioned there's fire. And all of these people that we've been kind of talking about are firefighters. And basically, Andy, who is the daughter of the captain, is her, look, the actual captain, her father, he ends up having cancer, so he has to step down from his position, which means that the captain position is available. And that means that she has to go against her, like, white boyfriend for the position.
Of course, her boyfriend's white.
And let me tell you that they do not hesitate to show the fact that everybody is thinking, oh, it's obviously gonna be her white boyfriend. Like, obviously, he's gonna get the position. They're already treating him like a captain. And Andy's like, okay, first of all, fuck you. Second of all, go fuck
Go
yourself.
fuck yourself.
So, but yeah, they basically end up, you know, having to go against each other on things. And there's a lot of. It is definitely very feminist central, and I like that a lot. They haven't brought up a whole lot of like Latinx type of topics. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Like, which ones?
Like, they haven't had any. Like, it's been like they haven't really mentioned the fact that they are Latino at all.
I kind of wanted to bring that up because I don't know how I feel about it, because I'm like, is that a step forward, or, you know, like, what are we supposed to do with that? Like, her name is Herrera, and there's like no mention of culture. For as far as I'm concerned, she's only Latina in name, and that's it. And I don't know if that's a step forward or a step back. I know it's an, you know, everyone's Latino or Latinx in their own way, but there's literally no mention of her culture at all.
Right, and I mean, we do have to take a. I'm assuming this. I'm assuming she's at least a second generation because her father speaks perfect English and he's a captain of a fire station. So my assumption is she's second generation, and like, yeah, that means sometimes, you know, it trickles down, right? Like it dilutes. So it's not a huge deal. It's just something that I noticed, and what my thought was, and I don't have any like evidence to back this up other than what I'm seeing, is that maybe. This was a role that wasn't written for a Latina, and then just kind of ended up saying, hey, we should just like go ahead and make her Latina, why not? And then they just kind of changed the name, which in practice can be a good idea. I don't know. Like you said, every Latino family is different. So we'll see where that goes. Maybe they'll sprinkle some more stuff in later on.
Yeah, it's just 'cause like every article I read about it made it like a big deal. They were like, "Oh, a Latina led, like blah blah blah." But when I watch it, I'm like, "Okay, well, you know, her name is, you know, Latina, but like it doesn't if it's not that's like the only cultural signifier. Like if they wouldn't have told me, I would have just thought she was like a white girl." And like I don't know if this is just trying to like play to like middle America and to show them that like, "Oh, Latinos, we're just like you, you know, and we are, but like, why make it like a thing then? You know, just say it's a female-led firefighter thing."
Right. I mean, you can't control, you know what I mean, when you have some a lead named Andy Herrera and it's a woman, you can't control what the media how the media is gonna report it necessarily. Like,
True.
this is something that they were like, yeah, we could go default and we could go white, but they were like, let's not do that. And then the media was just like, ooh, Latina,
Yeah.
azúcar, but
Yeah, 'cause like diversity
like.
is really sexy right now. So they're like, "Oh, let's say it's diverse." And it's like it is, but it's just a character
I
that
mean,
happens
yeah.
to be Latina, maybe in
So I
name.
mean, I guess it's gonna take some more episodes, but we're gonna have to like figure out like, is this a show that, you know, is being genuine? Like, who do they have in the writers' room? Like, we're gonna find that out for sure.
Well, I know
But you know, maybe it is best.
I know Ellen Pompeo is the executive producer. I don't know what that means overall. I guess it should be, I mean, she's super woke. I give her that. But I don't know if this is her version of being woke because so far it is and it isn't, you know? But again, who are we to say how people are supposed to be Latino? So, you know, again, I don't know. It's gray. It's very gray.
Yeah, I just think that it will take some more time because right now it's centering a lot around the feminist type of theme because it's a woman going against a man for a position that men tend to have the monopoly over.
No, yeah, and she's an interesting character, but I do skip over any time her and old boy start getting hot and steamy. I'm just like, "Oh, that's for the straights." It's just like fast forward it. I'm like, nah.
That's for the heads, it's not for me.
I'm like, "Oh,
Yeah.
nope, don't care about you, honey. Don't care about that." So I'm like, "Where is the fire? Like, that's what I'm looking for here."
So in general, I mean, I know we've only each seen I think 3 episodes, but would you recommend this? What's your concha take?
Right now, because it's still growing and developing, and like the way the Latinos are being represented, supposedly, I'm gonna give it like 3 pan dulces, 3.5 pan dulces, just for like the feminist stuff and the casually queer people kind of save it for me. So 3.5 pan dulces, which is still a lot more than I thought I would ever give it.
Right on. Yeah, I would probably say like a 1.5 on my end, you know what I mean? I think it's still finding itself, but I also think it has a lot of potential, so I'm definitely gonna probably keep watching and see where it goes.
Yeah, I might actually keep watching it too, just because like it's meant to be binged. I couldn't wait every week to watch this. This is too stressful.
Yeah,
No, but
for
yeah.
sure.
But yeah, keep an eye on it. Keep it on your radar. Hopefully it'll lead somewhere, but I'm down for it being feminist as long as people stop, you know, saying that it's going to be Latino, which 'cause right now it's super vanilla. It's not doing what I want it to do, but that's no discredit to the writers or the creators of this. It's still a good show.
Yeah, so I mean next let's talk about the show before that she had, which was How to Get Away with
Dun,
Murder.
dun, dun. Okay, so How to Get Away with Murder is actually part of her like show running, her like producing, her it's part of her company or whatever, but it's actually created by someone
Yeah, she
else.
only executive produced this, right? She
Correct. She
didn't write
does not
for
write
it
for it.
or show run it.
Correct.
Just she was like, this is my idea. I'm gonna make sure you don't do some stupid shit with it.
Well, not really. It's actually created by someone who used to write for Grey's Anatomy. He, I think, sold it to her company and she executive produces it.
Oh, okay. So she was just like super into the
I
idea.
mean, yeah, like this show is pretty amazing in what it does and for the time that it came out. I think it came out like 2014, 2013.
Yeah, the mystery of this show honestly drew me in a lot more than her other shows. And I love Grey's Anatomy and I love Scandal. But like the mystery particularly that this show like starts off with, plus the fact that like the two main leads are people of color, a man of color and a woman of color.
Oh, fuck
Amazing.
yes. Fuck yes.
Absolutely
And
amazing.
like the gays and gay people, queer people, excuse me, queer people and people of color are like rampant in How to Get Away with Murder. So it stars Viola Davis and a bunch of other like diverse people. I mean, do we count Laurel's character as diverse? She's still like a white Latina who's like a telenovela star. So I don't know how I feel. Like, I'm glad that she speaks perfect Spanish and they have her, but she's still a white Latina, so it's kind of like,
Hey, she's a step up from On My Block, okay?
oh,
Step up from Olivia. Like, at
Olivia's
least this
punk
woman is
ass,
actually
like,
a Latina, actually speaks Spanish, and actually freaking, like, embraces her culture, you know what I mean? So, isn't a Trump supporter.
oh my God,
So I'm not bashing her today.
I'm not gonna bash Carla Sousa. Sousa?
Souza, something like
Carla
that.
Sousa. I'm not gonna bash her. I'm just
Yeah.
saying, like, who casted this? Like, I'm into it or whatever, because she's not like one of those, like, I'm a Latina character. She's like just a character. You know, all of them. What I appreciate about the writing on this show versus Station 19 is that they're more interesting than just their like diversity casting bullshit. Like, each of them was cast to be
Yes.
a character. And they're all fucked up, and everyone's problematic, and especially the lead, which is Viola Davis, aka Annalise Keating. She's like,
My gosh.
she's a professor. She's a law school professor who is murdering people, framing people, manipulating people, lying to people. She's like the Don Draper of, like, not even, because fuck Don Draper, she's not like he is. She's actually like a badass bitch who, even in her most ambiguously moral moments, I'm totally into. Like, this bitch is like murdering, excuse me, this strong badass woman is murdering people, banging out girl.
Hey, spoiler
Spoiler alert,
alert.
if you haven't, it's in the title. How to Get Away with Murder.
Well, she's a lawyer. It implies different things, but this, I mean, I will say, like, Annalise Keating, Viola Davis is such an amazing
Oh my
actress
God.
and just incredibly talented, and her character is just impeccable.
Oh,
Like,
dude.
so many
Wow.
layers.
So many layers. And okay, that's the beauty of it. Thank you for leading me there. That is the beauty of this show, is that here is a black woman who's complicated, morally ambiguous, sexually fluid. she's allowed to be a human, whereas she's not a trope. She's not a fucking caricature of a black woman. She is just a woman, a black woman, a queer woman being, and she's existing and she's problematic. And to allow a woman to exist in that space on primetime TV for middle America, that is fucking like revolutionary in its own little way. You know, like, fuck yes, Viola Davis.
For
She's like
sure.
crying on
For sure.
cue
Like,
all the time. Like, Viola Davis is a national treasure, and she deserves that Emmy. She deserves all the Emmys because the woman is kicking ass. How to Get Away with Murder is so like telenovela, like soap opera, and it's overwhelming, but I never get tired of seeing Viola Davis.
¿quién lo
Yeah.
mató?
Yes, dude. And I never get tired of her like crying. I never get tired of her just acting her ass off. Dude, there was one scene in I think season 2 or season 3 where she goes to like a beauty shop and she completely code switched. Like, she's getting her like wig taken out and you can see her natural hair, her braids underneath the wig. And I was like, this is so fucking cool. Like, she's just shooting the shit in a beauty shop right now and she's showing her natural hair. She's just letting herself be and she's allowing black women to just be, you know? And I fucking love that.
There's a lot of, like, her character in particular makes such a big comment on beauty standards. You know what I mean? Like the way that she looks when she's real dolled up and real ready to impress these like bigwig lawyers and judges and all this other bullshit. And then when she's at home and she's like, fuck the makeup, this is the real me. Like, she makes a real statement, both on the show and off the show. You know what I mean? She's just like, why don't you love this face, but you want this face? You know what I mean?
Yes,
Like,
dude.
it's revolutionary, like you said.
And like her queerness is kind of just like a, another thing that's a part of her. She has like a brief queer relationship that like I think it was right around or right before like gay marriage got legalized. It was between her and Famke, she's the Canadian actress. Oh, what's her name? Famke Jennings?
Homegirl that was on X-Men.
Yes, dude. The original Jean Grey from X-Men.
Yes.
Dude, they had this like very, I would say that Annalise Keating's sexuality is just kind of like this, I don't know how I feel about it because they don't necessarily, she never really brings up her queerness. She never really brings up, I mean, it's very brief and it's not really well explored or well told. I felt like maybe it was kind of like a ploy to bring in more viewers, which totally worked. It brought me in again. But
But it's
they made it.
okay. Yeah, go on. I want to, after you finish this,
Like
I kind
what?
of have a comment on that actually.
Okay. Like, I like that she was like sexually fluid and like she doesn't really talk about her queerness. Like they were in a bar together, her and what is
Jean
her
Grey.
actual name? Eve, excuse me, Eve. I know it. Jean Grey. Her and Jean Grey are in a bar. And some dudes come up to her and Eve clearly states that she's queer. She's like, I'm gay, and she's I don't know. You know, and I don't know. I maybe you don't have to label yourself because fuck it. Every person decides what, who and when and where and how. So that's her decision. But at the same time, like they use this like queerness, this queer storyline is kind of like a ploy, and I'm not really sure. She like barely existed, and she was only on a couple episodes, and their connections seemed and felt so real between them. And I think she was one of the few people that Annalise could actually trust and actually loved. But Annalise maybe was too scared of her own queerness, and because she even talks about, oh, you left me for, oh boy, what's his name? Your therapist. I never learn the white men's names in shows because I don't care. That's my like that's my
That's your
revolutionary act is
Mozart
I
in the
don't
Jungle
care.
moment.
Yes, that's my Mozart in the Jungle thing. I don't remember white boys' names. So her, the guy she was married to, she left Eve for him, and it just seemed like maybe there's just so much there, and she left him to be like a straight woman because it was easier. And I don't know, like there, it's complicated. She's not a perfect character or a perfect human, and that's what makes her so fucking interesting too. But what was your hot take on it?
Well, like, I mean, I know you've heard of this podcast, but Cerebronas, they kind of opened my eyes a lot whenever, like, I would listen to some of their episodes to, like, how lawyers start to think, or sometimes have to think, especially when they're still in law school. Like, all these things that are constructed by man and then controlled by law, including sexuality, like, that's what they start to see. Like, they start to see them as just, like, man-made. So, like, gender being fluid and sexuality being fluid, and even like race being like just a constructed thing sometimes, like all of that kind of starts blurring. So like in my head, like that's what Annalise thinks, because she's a person that knows law and knows how it was created and knows what it's used for. So in my head, it's like it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? Like in her head, it's just like, what is it, like a label? What the hell doesn't it doesn't matter until it becomes like a problem within the law, in which case she'll probably like knock that shit out real quick and be like, okay, well, in 1950 this and this and that, and this case versus that case, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think in her head, like, maybe it just didn't fucking matter, like a label didn't matter, and maybe she just really was wrapped up in this mediocre ass white man. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I don't mean that. Like, I agree with you that like you don't have to label yourself, and it's up to her when and how. But I felt like the whole bringing in this character felt like a ploy to bring in more viewers, because I was like, okay, you're gonna bring her in for a couple episodes and then do nothing with her, And then we're not going to talk about her again. You know, that's what felt false, not her needing to label herself. She doesn't have to, like, but what I didn't like was just like, okay, so we're going to bring in her ex-queer lover and then we're going to take her away. You know, that's what I didn't like.
I think we just want like the queer characters to stay forever. And I mean,
No,
that could
but I
have
don't even know
easily
what
been
she was
BF Man, you
used
know what I mean?
for.
You what?
Oh, true. But I don't even know what she was used for. Like, what was the purpose of that character other than to show that maybe she could have some feelings and she could trust someone, but that person left? But
Maybe.
it was her fault?
You don't think it
I
maybe
just,
like
I
brought
don't.
out some of the vulnerabilities within like Viola's or not Viola, Annalise Keating's, like. You know what I mean? Like
Person.
kind of like you were talking about before with like Lady Bird, not to bring it all the way back there, but like you were talking about like how it was like a crack in the surface, you know what I mean? Like she can be real emotional with many people.
This is true. This is true. This was the crack in Annalise Keating's surface. So I agree with that, but it's just kind of like, okay, like we're gonna bring in a queer character, we're gonna show her vulnerability, and then we're gonna not
Yeah,
do that
she
anymore. We're
was
gonna take it back.
used
Temporary.
in a way.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And this show is amazing for it's because it's doing a lot of things besides Annalise Keating's queerness, and she's the lead. God bless her. Love her. There is another queer relationship that's healthy and sometimes not
Important,
healthy, but
yeah,
it's important.
for sure.
It's between Oliver and that white boy.
White boy
Yes,
X.
cis gay white men also don't get a pass on this. I don't remember their names either because I don't fuck with them. Connor.
Connor.
I remember Oliver's name forever, but Connor's name. Oof. Anyways, Oliver and Connor are actually treated with dignity and respect, and they have an HIV positive character who there's no stigma against him. Like, it's human and it's beautiful, and Connor is able to accept that about his partner and just go, hey, like, that's fine. There's prep. Like, and I'm like, oh my God, healthy representation. This is really good. Their relationship is way better, way healthy than Annalise and Eve. Like, I was like,
Nothing
wow, they
about Annalise's life
communicate.
is healthy. Like, the woman is
No.
chaos.
Yes, she's chaos defined. Like, but you know, Oliver and Connor are like a cute break from like Annalise Keating's like fucked up, you know, not fucked up, but she's a complicated human. And whereas Connor and Oliver kind of, they're just like adorable. They're like this, like, they're treated so like respectfully. You can tell that the writers like have respect for them because whenever they're interacting with their straight like counterparts, it's like, oh my God, like I love Oliver. Like, let's talk about your relationship. And they have, I thought this was hilarious. They brought up the like the gay, like they couldn't mention Grindr, so of course they called it Humper.
You know, there actually is like other wannabe grinders out there that are always like really fucking stupid, like Bumper and all this other stuff.
Oh no, yeah, there are, but like I was like, I know this is just Grindr, and you guys probably can't like didn't want to pay for it, so you just said Humper, and I was like, this is hilarious. So
Yeah.
that was the funny thing about that. But no, like Connor, I wanted to hate his character because he's a white boy and I don't care about him, but like he's very sweet and he's like really nice to Oliver, and they're cute and adorable, and I give them like, well, in all honesty, I don't care too much about them either. Like, I'm focused on Annalise. So they're one of the better parts of this show. Like, I kind of skip around and I watch for them. They're adorable.
I like that
And I like
they made them complicated like from the beginning, you know what I mean? Like it wasn't just like they weren't U-hauling it per se, but they also weren't like you know, like stereotypically unfaithful or anything like that. You know, it was super cool in the way that like they had to DTR and all this other stuff.
They did, and I don't know, they're not perfect. You know, they're both flawed as well. Like, each of them has their flaws, but they're adorable and they're human, and I like that queer couples get to be shown as adorable, complicated, and human, but they're also like loving. So it was nice. It was a nice change of pace.
Would you agree that this show is sort of like built on flawed characters. Like, I feel like it couldn't survive without each character having that one thing in their life that is really good, that could, like, it's like a time bomb, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's what makes the show so special, is that, like, not only is the, it's not just the plot that's crazy, it's the characters themselves that are like ticking time bombs.
Oh, dude, yeah. If they were boring, I would not watch. If they were just like super healthy, normal people, I would be like, this show's whack. Like, I'm gonna go watch like literally anything else. No, I love that they're like fucked up trash humans. Like, I
Yeah.
think that's interesting. So,
For sure.
I keep forgetting Connor's name. I really don't care about him. I care more about Oliver. Connor was just like straight up having sex, like, first episode. Like, there was
Yeah.
no, the writers were like, fuck you. Middle America, we don't care about you. We made this for us. And I love that. Like, that's a big middle finger to Middle America, which is who ABC is for, like these like housewives with like 2.5 children and a middle class or middle, they're just like middle class, boring. I don't think highly of their audience, but yes. This is
Right
made
on.
for them, so I thought it was pretty radical.
Yeah, so what would you rate this show overall?
I'd give it, and this kidding, being a fucked up person is very compelling and interesting. I'd give it four pan dulces for that, and only lesser rating because I wanted more queer shit from her. But she's beautiful and amazing, and her, she's a national treasure, so four pan dulces from me. What about you?
You know, I gotta give it credit, because if you think about it, like all of other sh of Shonda's other shows, Grey's Anatomy, straight lead, Scandal, straight lead, what's the other one we talked about? Station 19, straight lead so far,
Oh, yeah.
and so it's like Annalise Keating, you know what I mean? She's like the one lead that was canon queer, so I'm pretty down for
Yeah.
it. I would give it like half a cafecito.
Yeah, just so you can pay attention to all the crazy shit that's happening, because there is a
So you can sip
lot.
that tea.
Hey, sip that tea. Hey.
Oh, so the next one that I'm going to talk about is Scandal.
Oh, Scandal. My bad.
Scandal literally, like, it took the world by fucking storm. Do you remember that? Do you remember just everybody tweeting about it every, what was it, Thursday?
Every Thursday, everybody was watching Scandal except me.
Yeah, like people would reference it. Like, if you, like, I remember when I watched, fuck, what was it called? Dear White People, the Netflix series version,
Oh,
and they would
yeah.
have like their faux scandal, where it was always like they like totally called out the fact that it was like a black woman fiending over a white man or whatever. But I got into it. Like, I was surprisingly into this show way too late though. Like, I barely got into it maybe 6 months ago. Not even, maybe like
Wait, what?
3 months
Wait, you
ago.
were not playing. You said 3 months ago?
3 months ago is when I
Okay,
started
what drew you
watching.
in though? Like, what was it? I know Kerry Washington is like also beautiful and amazing, but like, what drew you
Gorgeous.
in? She's, yes, but what drew you in?
I just wanted to round up my Shonda series. Is like, I'd watch Grey's, I'd watch How to Get Away with Murder, and I wanted
How to gay
to
away with murder?
How to Get Away with, that's right. And I wanted to watch Scandal. I wanted to see what the escándalo was about. Like, I don't know. So, and I was really bored. It was back when I was unemployed and I was here in California and I didn't have any friends yet.
Yeah, what's the chisme on it? Yeah, I understand that.
What basically, okay, so another strong black lead, right? Like, amazing. And this time it's about the fucking White House. And this was before our 2017 drama.
Oh,
So
God.
back in the day, yeah. So back then we had Obama in the office. It was the golden age. And what came out of it was Olivia fucking Liv Scandal.
Oh, my God,
So
yes. Well, Olivia Pope, right? She's beautiful.
Olivia Pope, yeah. So she is played by Kerry Washington, and she is the lead. She's strong, she's talented. Like, from the moment, like from the first episode, this show really draws you in, because it's kind of like How to Get Away with Murder, which in where like to which like there's some sort of mystery, there's something that we're missing, like we're missing a piece of the puzzle, and there's layers to it, and you know that each character is like there's something weird going on, and you get introduced to it through the lens of another, like one of the characters who doesn't know what the fuck is going on, and that's who you are, right? And in the story, you don't know what the fuck is going on. So she, like, I don't know, she's just so amazing, and like several times, maybe not so much in the first season, but several times throughout the series, like her father, who, you know, like, it tells her, like, you're a woman and you're black, you need to be twice as good as everybody else to get as far as them, you know what I mean?
Yes, every person of color has had that, like, talk with their parent.
Right. So I love that that's kind of a theme, and that she fucking, like, is probably, like, better than, she's definitely better than everybody else. She's amazing.
She has to be.
And so, yeah, she's, like, she's such a strong person, and then, like, she also has a really strong side cast. So one of the characters that I kind of want to briefly mention, he's the, I don't know, he, like, helps the president. I forgot his, like, official title, but his name is Cyrus. And he's this white guy who is openly queer. Him. Yeah. He's openly queer, and he's married to his partner, and, like, he's still, like, a crazy fucking maniac, you know what I mean? Like, he still does all kinds of crazy shit. And, yeah, so, like, I don't know, there's a bit of a storyline there to follow. Like, it's a decently impressive one. And even later on in the series, they talk about how, like, he, as much passion as he's always had for politics, he thought to himself, like, at first, he thought to himself, like, I could never make it far in politics because I don't have a face for the TV, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not your conventionally attractive person, and that's kind of relatable. And then flip side of it, he then, like, was, like, avoiding being gay, but then was like, you know what, I want to be happy, came out as gay, and then was like, of course, I can't be ugly and gay, and I'm definitely not going to make it in politics.
There's no space for both of those things.
There's no space for either sometimes. So it was really cool that even in, like, the political sphere, I know we have, like, the ugliest person in the entire universe in the office right now, but politics does work that way. Like, the more attractive you are, the farther you might get. So it's interesting that like, falls even into that category.
Yeah, a side note to this. No, you know what? I'll bring this up later, because this is just from the Super Soul Sunday, from what I remember. But that's ironic, because, like, he's an actor, and he's clearly in a show. So he's clearly attractive enough to be in a show, so.
Well, I mean, I think you have to hate somebody in a show, and they always kind of go towards the ugly characters, and they're like, let's give him somebody to hate. But he ended up being, like, more likable than maybe I think people expected. So yeah, another one of the main characters is Abby. She's, like, this, like, redhead who, like, in the first couple of seasons, she's, like, super low-key, you know what I mean? Like, very kind of plain, keeps to herself, very into her job. Because anybody that works for Olivia Pope has to be, like, lives and breathes their job, you know what I mean? So, Abby turns out to have a storyline.
Oh, they gotta be a boss-ass bitch.
Yeah. So, it ends up being, like, a storyline where she's a survivor from domestic abuse, basically. And you know, so they they go into it, they don't have, like, these, like, she seemed like a plain Jane, but then she's not, and then they also, like, bring her back, and, like, she starts thriving, and, like, she starts, like, even in her appearance it shows, which is really cool. My personal favorite is how did I just, like, slip on his name? Huck. It's Huck.
Is
Huck,
he a white guy?
Like Huckleberry Finn.
Oh, no,
is
Huck
not his
a white
real
guy.
Name. Huck is not a white guy, no. It's Huck. He is played by Guillermo Diaz, and who in real life is an openly queer man and absolutely amazing. He was also in Weeds, a show that I really like. And
yes,
he plays, like,
queer.
Yes. And he plays a guy that, like, was basically, like, recruited into, like, not even, like, a Black Ops type of thing, like, worse than Black Ops type of thing, like, when he was in the army. And he ended up, like, you know, really traumatized, PTSD, and, like, he, like, now suffers from mental illness and has a lot of trauma that he needs to get past, and Olivia's one of the few people that he can trust, so they have a very special bond. But what I really enjoyed about this series is that, like, in his storyline later on, there's a woman who plays his ex-wife, and they kind of show his history. And his wife happens to be Jessica Nicole, who is an openly queer woman.
Yes,
yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
Air horn, air horn, air horn. Well, wow.
Yeah, so I was like, this is a straight ship I can get behind.
Two queers in love. Just not with each other.
I won't go too far into this show because we'll run out of time, but in season 4 they fucking finally bring up some harder topics like police brutality and white feminism versus intersectional feminism, and like they have a queer storyline about an older black couple who didn't have the same privileges as Cyrus has now. You know what God.
Yeah, I do.
And they also even bring up like how much of an epidemic it is, like rape in the military. Like, it's bad and nobody talks about it.
Oh wow, this show is super woke.
Yeah, but unfortunately it took until like season 4 but still I guess it's kind of cool. And then season 5 it's worth mentioning that they have a character named Hollis Doyle. He's actually been in the as a character like for several seasons now, but they like very obviously make a parallel between him and Donald Trump, where he uses racism, xenophobia, misogyny, all of that shit. Like, he uses it, and like people are like voting for him, and they're like, he's doing great in the polls, and there's nothing that can bring down this like rich white dude, until he starts like talking down on like racists and poor white people. That's when he finally loses the votes, because he gets caught talking a like shit about racist people.
Oh wow, I like so. That but you know what's a fun thing, like, and I was listening to Shonda Rhimes like Super Soul Sunday, and she was talking about how they had to change the ending of the season because they had actually predicted exactly what is happening in real U.S. politics. They're like, oh yeah, we had something written in where like Russia interfered with the election, and she's like, we had to go back and change that because no one wants to watch
the that's reality. What happened.
Yeah, she's like, this actually happened. So she's like, fuck, we have to change that. She's like, we'd already written it in, and she's like, this is crazy how like what we wrote was just like supposed to be the worst reflection of America, and now it's like the reality. So it's like, fuck our lives, right?
That's mad. And then yeah, so I mean, it's a lot. In season 5, they make a lot of interesting points when it comes to politics and who gets elected and for what reason. So it's really kind of worth getting to at least that season for those different storylines, including true. Possibly like seeing a brown Spanish speaking man get elected.
Or what now? So say cool. it again.
I won't say it again. You don't want to hear nothing. We are already at 15 minutes, but let's try to get through Grey's Anatomy.
Okay.
You've seen some of Grey's Anatomy. We can talk a little bit about Grey's Anatomy together.
That I actually have watched, yes. Well, only Kelly
knows. Sweet, so this right here, this was the legacy. This is what made Shonda Rhimes Shonda Rhimes, you know what I mean? Like, this is where it all started. Let's go back to the beginning.
Hey.
Hashtag Hillary Duff. So yeah, it's led by Meredith. We just talked about, what was it, How to Get Away with Murder. Was it How to Get Away with Murder that was Ellen Pompeo's
no, project? No, Station 19 is the one she's executive producing.
Ah, okay.
Mm, yeah.
So she is Meredith, like the lead of Grey's Anatomy for like 13 years now? Is it 13 now?
I think it's maybe, yeah.
I think it's about that much.
2005.
And she... like, oh my god, the development that this woman has had in 13 years, like, it's mad. So she's, it was a female-led show. I guess that was kind of special back then. Now it's just kind of like, of course, fucking do that. But she is a very interesting character. And they've let her storyline take the back burner in the last couple of seasons so that other people can shine, which is really nice. Some of those people happen to be like Miranda and Richard, who are two strong black people who have like lasted the entire 13 years as leads, or, you know, also on the show. Mm-hmm. And both of them are chiefs of surgery at certain points, and they're always like impressive in their work, and they're also flawed. Mm-hmm. And they have problems like alcoholism, OCD, you know what I mean? So it's really cool to have seen them also grow in all these years. I don't know if you remember them from like the very beginning of the series.
I do not, but I do know that she's let diversity, and she made diversity, not even like she said in the casting process of Grey's Anatomy, that she just brought in literally an an open call to anyone. She didn't typecast anyone as, oh, they're white, they're black. She was like, nope, just let anyone try out, and whoever we like gets the part. And it happened to be reflective of real, I don't know, real America.
Sort of.
In a way.
So yeah, and then another person that we're going to talk about, another couple of people that we're going to talk about, which I know you're definitely going to want to chime in on, Callie fucking Torres. Ayy. Callie Torres, played by Sarah Ramirez, recently out as bi. Don't know if you know who she is, oh, but yeah. You should.
I think I, you know, I maybe heard of her maybe one time, you know.
Mayhaps. But like for me, even before she had the queer storyline, she was a thick woman. Like she was big and she was brown and she was beautiful. Oh. Like one of the most beautiful women on this damn show.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, like not only do you get to see her like come out of the closet, but you get to like see her actually process like realizing that she's queer and falling in love with a woman. Like I was mind blown. It was really cool.
It was beautiful.
And, like, they don't play it down. It's not like Annalise Keating where she has the one relationship and then goes back to men. Like, no. Like, she continues to date women for a long time. One of those women happens to be the one and only Arizona Robbins. Yes,
our favorite pediatric, what, surgeon?
Yeah, oh, pediatric. She's amazing.
She's an amazing person.
She was on the L Word. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Guys, for reference, go watch, I think, season 4 or season 3 of the L Word. She was definitely, like, a student aide to Bette Porter,
like a grad student.
Yeah, like a grad student. But oh yes,
I think she's like Steven Spielberg's stepdaughter or something.
Say what, girl? We gonna have to do them Googles. She's like Google it, loca.
She's a big shot, some sort of big shot director's stepdaughter. Like not direct daughter, but stepdaughter.
Yo, that's interesting.
That's what I remember seeing forever ago. But she's really, really, she's talented, and she's also very beautiful, and she's also kind of thick, and she's a femme, and she's, like, she's just great. And she gets to have a really cool storyline where, after losing her leg, and learning to, like, deal with that, and love her body again, and it gets really, really, like, deep and pretty fucking cool.
It is very fucking cool. I love what she did with those two characters. Like, remember when that shit was, like, groundbreaking, and, like, that was, like, our only queer representation for a while?
Oh my god, yeah, like back in the day, like you would have like one couple per season, so like during like the springtime and then like parts of the fall, it was like Grey's Anatomy, Callie Torres.
It's like me only looking up Callie in Arizona scenes on YouTube.
And then honorable mention character that I want to bring up is Christina Yang, because I mean, yes. Come on, she was like the smartest and best surgeon of the team, and like I guess you can, that goes into like stereotypical territory, but she is also not, because like she fights the stereotype by basically like at some point like somebody assumes that she speaks like another language and she's like, dude, I'm from Beverly Hills. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
She's so amazing in her like, I don't give a fuck about you, I'm going to get to where I need to be. Like, she's just a badass woman.
She's great. And then yeah, I guess like honorable mention for also like on the side, I don't have any names here, but the most recent season of Grey's Anatomy, they I guess tried to up their game, and their new round of interns is like a plus size character, a trans character, an Indian man, a Muslim woman. Like all of these people are their new interns. Lit. And they're killing the damn game. Like right now they're still minor characters, but like they have potential, you know.
They're
what I mean?
they're in the last season, but I mean, hey, that's progressive, because that show has always been pretty progressive in its own small way.
Is it the last season?
Yes, dude, they're ending it. You are like so shocked right now. Yeah, it's the last season. Like they're talking to Ellen Pompeo.
I thought they had announced a last season.
Mm-hmm. This is it, I think,
but like not necessarily this one.
Thought it was
Let
it.
Me look it up.
Yeah, we got to do our Googles. Let's do our Googles, loca.
No, there's a 15 and a 16 coming up.
What the?
They've already been approved for two more
seasons.
Are
you fucking serious? This show is going to continue. I mean,
100. Oof.
It ain't for me.
Yeah, it's, I think that's why they brought in so many new characters, because that's kind of what happened maybe like 5 or 6 seasons ago. They brought in a whole new round of interns because they went up to like whatever, the residence or whatever the fuck. And then those new interns became more major characters, and that could happen with this new round of interns. So
okay,
I have hopes that they'll maybe go in a positive direction.
Yeah, no, I'm into like representation, and I hope it's good, and they don't really do it wrong, honestly. So I'm into it.
And I really hope that the plus size character, I'm getting like gay vibes off of her. I don't know, but I'm really hoping so, because like that would be really fucking cool. Like, they haven't had that. Well, I mean, Callie, but not really, you know what I mean?
Like, a thick queer woman? I'm super into that, because, like, that's...
I'm here for it.
Yes.
They killed her off, the only one off in Walking Dead. Those jerks.
Really? Yeah. I don't watch that show, so thank God. I don't watch a lot of TV.
Oh, and then super, super quick last note on Grey's Anatomy. Their most recent episode featured a storyline about one of their intern doctors, who's a Latina from El Salvador, who has DACA status.
Oh, whoa.
And how she has to... Yeah, they brought that in and went, like, really hard on it, so... I'm hoping it doesn't go where I think it's going, which is just, like, cutting her out altogether, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, it's Grey's Anatomy. Hopefully she makes it and stays. That would be... We really need that right now.
Hopefully.
We don't need any of this, like, negative shit right now.
Definitely. But that's it. That's, like, Shonda's shows and all the shit that she's been doing for us. And you know what? Like, I feel like a couple years, if this podcast's still around, we could probably do a part two with her new Netflix stuff.
Oh my god, yes. I can't wait. Like, Shonda, she's just so inspirational. You have to, like, see and watch her speak, because she's always talking about, like, you know, just working hard and showing up, and it's very like she's talking about, you know, taking chances on yourself, and she's extremely inspirational to just hear speak. And she talks about, she's very like vulnerable once she speaks, she's very vulnerable, and it's reflective of her characters. And she said the one that she reflects most, or not that reflects most, that the one that she's most like is Christina Yang, which I totally thought that was really interesting, because she's one of my favorite characters, period.
I can definitely see that too, because she, yeah, one of the most inspiring things that I saw was like this little comic strip type of thing that was about her, where it was like, you know, her like sitting there writing and working, and then other people were like partying or doing other things, like distracting things, and she just keeps working, and then she gets that deal and she like makes it, you know what I mean? Like, every now and then I'm, like, thinking about, like, wanting to go blow off some steam, and I'm just like, maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah, like, maybe just, like, stay focused. And that's what she talks about whenever you do hear her speak, is she's like, you know, I'm so busy, I don't get to watch shows. Like, if the moment I get off this interview, I'm going to go write. She's like, I can't do anything else. She's like, I don't function correctly. I have to go write. And she's always talking about how she's, like, a million ideas all at once, all the time. And I think that's... If you really manifest it within yourself, you can do it. Like, you just gotta focus. And she has this kind of unwavering fucking focus. And it's amazing to see, like, a Black woman be just so herself, you know, so unafraid. And so it's beautiful, honestly. And it's really inspiring. So everyone, just be more Shonda Rhimes.
For real. So I guess we can wrap up with some homework.
Yeah.
You ready for the tarea? I want to give a shout out to Brenda, who I met today at Molcajete Dominguero, who gave us some like amazing paintings.
Oh, shout out to, thank you so much, they're beautiful, dude,
they're fantastic. Like, I sent Fred Papita the one with the palm trees because she's away from the beach, and I kept the Dallas skyline for myself because I'm away from Dallas. So it's really cool.
Thank you so much. We're gonna put it on my wall next to, like, I don't know, I don't really have anything on my wall, but I'm gonna put it up. And thank you so much.
Same here. Yeah, I wanna, I guess, reiterate, I guess, that if you leave us a review on the iTunes or Stitcher or shit, even on fucking Facebook, like, yes, let us know and we can send you stickers, because you rep us, I rep you, you know what I mean? Like, representation matters.
Yeah, representation. No, but for real though, no. Let us know, yeah, we'll send you a sticker
for sure. And you can DM us at CYC Podcast on Instagram or Twitter, I guess Snapchat, I check that every now and then. Yeah. On Facebook, we're at facebook.com/CYC Pod. And yeah, I hope that you guys caught last week's episode. It was on Patreon only, so maybe just a couple of you caught it. But we talked about shows that we had strong opinions on that lasted only one single season.
One single season. And make sure to, hit that Patreon and show some support, show some love, so we can keep this thing going without, being too broke all the time. So pay some hoes, pay us,
So yeah, thanks for listening once again. What's your personal social media?
Yeah, my personal is at Fried Papita. DM, follow, if you just want to hear me bullshit about what music I'm listening to and obsess over SZA, I am here. Let's talk it. How about you, Maita?
MYTE Panda on Twitter. And I'm always on the CYC podcast Instagram, so if you see those stories, it's a lot of time it's me, and some of the times it's Fred Pepita. So check out what we're doing. It's
Yeah, I'm you.
usually really trashy.
I'm usually just the one on the Twitters, so hit us up, let us know, and if you can update Maite on all the queer news at the end of the night, I know she's looking for that, so hit her up.
It's a necessity. I'm a working woman, and even my nights are filling up now because, I'm taking care of you guys, trying to get you this podcast. I mean, just saying, like, if you could just tweet me everything gay, that'd be really nice.
I got you too, Maita. That's what I used to do anyways, so I'll keep sending it
Yeah, you
to
pretty much do that, like, anyways. Yeah, just like at fucking like 6 a.m. in the morning because we're on different time zones.
Yeah, I'm always like, hey, did you see
But.
this thing with Kehlani? Did you see this other thing with Demi?
Speaking of Kehlani and Hailey Kiyoko's new song, let me move on. It's really good.
So good. But yeah, we
All right,
love you guys. Make sure to
guys.
follow, and yeah, bye.
Bye.